Hey, everyone. Welcome to the House Church Podcast. This is Pastor Jamie here. I'm so glad you decided to join us for today's broadcast. Every time we come together as a church, people encounter God. So my prayer is that you too would experience His presence and hear His voice for yourself. Please enjoy today's message.
Prayer here as we jump in the Word. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence, for all that you're doing in the midst of us today. God, for all that you're doing in this generation. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would awaken our hearts to purpose. Father, I pray that you would awaken our hearts to purpose, to divine purpose. Lord, you are doing something in the midst of this generation. God, I am so grateful for it. I'm excited for it. I feel like there is the birth pains of something new and that you're in the midst of it. And we just invite you, Lord, come and have your way. Come and have your way in every aspect. Thank you, Lord. And God, I just set apart this time right now, invite you into this service. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, make us in tune, make us alert to what the Spirit's saying. And God, I thank you. I bless this time now in Jesus' mighty name. If you agreed with that, you said, amen, amen. I have a quick announcement for you. I'll just make it now so I don't forget about it as we go along here. But the first weekend of May, we're hosting an event here called the Create Conference. Now, two times in our church's history have we done this event. We did this several years ago, and when we did this event, out of it, we birthed many different ministries. It gave birth to businesses. We ended up planting multiple churches. If you don't know this, the House Church actually has. We've had two other congregations spring out of us intentionally in our region. And the Lord put on hearts, when we hosted this event the last time, the Lord puts in people the seed of something that's supposed to come out, something new that's supposed to be birthed. Happens every single time. It when we breathe on creativity, when we give any attention to this topic, people start to pop with God ideas. All right? And this we felt like this season was the time to retouch the topic of wisdom and creativity and fan that flame again, because the Lord was wanting to birth something new again in this new season. Are you alive? And so I want to invite you to that. Again, it's the first weekend of May. It's going to be a Friday night and Saturday. It's the same time as normally we host the Encounter Night here. Instead of the Encounter Night, well, it's going to be a different version of the Encounter Night. We're going to be focusing on the topic of creativity and unlocking that. And then all day on that Saturday is an all-day seminar, if you will. We have guests Dave and Deb Crone coming in. And there's a reason why we're bringing those guys in, because of the testimony that they carry. And they're going to release that here. And I'm telling you, the Lord's going to do something in the midst of us that new things will be born. Happens every time. I can tell you exact that's going to happen. So if you feel like you have been sort of pregnant with the purpose of God, but you haven't been able to get to it for sure, come and participate in that event. Okay, commercial break over. The topic for the next several weeks. So next weekend, we have our good friend Leif Hetland, who's going to be here in the services. And so that'll be really, really fun. So you get a slight pause in topics, but starting today and then through the first weekend of May, I'm gonna be talking on the topic of wisdom and creativity. Okay, we're gonna stir the hunger for it, and we're gonna lay a foundation of understanding, so by the time we get to the event itself, it's just gonna be straight up activation, and we're off and running. Amen? Okay. There's two main passages of scripture that I'm gonna hit today. One is in Genesis 1, and one is in Proverbs chapter 8. Okay, we're gonna just briefly overview each of the sections of scripture, and then we're gonna talk on the topic of wisdom and creativity and authority. And the Lord is going to, this happens every time we talk in this, there's going to be a shift inside your heart. You'll go from thinking about just, oh, that's a good idea, to understanding that when you have one of those good ideas, that you're meant to do something with it. That, oh, that was revelatory. I read the Bible and God spoke to me. That it's not just supposed to be revelatory to you. You're supposed to do something with it so that it produces something. All right? When we talk about the topic of wisdom and creativity, it is like the plow going into the field. God this morning is going to plow up some fallow ground. It's hardened ground where perhaps in the past you have ignored these promptings or these ideas, or it didn't work out for you before. And so you're like, well, why would I act upon this idea? How's that idea any different than this new one? But I am telling you, it is a new season. And the Lord is at work in your life, and he is calling you to a new place. And it requires then the hearing, the inspiration that takes place inside of you, and then the action. And that is creativity, that's functioning in wisdom, and that's producing the kingdom here on earth. This thing is about to go nuclear on the inside, you all right? Okay, look at your neighbor and say, buckle up, buttercup, it's about to get real. When we talk about the scriptures and how to define the scriptures, now, you know, like part of my job description is to read the Bible. So I understand that perhaps I'm approaching this differently than you do, but the same tools are available to each one of us to analyze the scriptures, to come understand what God has said in the past and to make applications for the future. Like, it's all there for each one of us. But some of the things that we use, tools to, if you want to study the word, is called hermeneutic. It is the art and science, the tool set that you use to study the scriptures. And there are principles that we apply to the study of the scriptures. And so they call them like the laws of hermeneutics or the principles of hermeneutics. And one of these principles is called the law of first mention. Basically, what it means is that anytime God reveals himself or something is revealed about God or a principle of scripture, that the first time that God says it, that whatever he says about it, what has been learned, what's been revealed, remains true all the way through any other time that it's mentioned. And so over here, God reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And so anytime in the future where like somebody calls upon the name of the Lord, that it's assumed that healing is a part of it. What God established as true remains true. And so when you go to the scriptures and we look at a topic like what we're going to find in Genesis chapter 1, is that God reveals something about himself and about his nature, and that remains true all the way through the rest of the story. That it's still true today. That the divine nature of who God has revealed himself to be and what he has put inside of humanity is still true. It was true. It is true. It will be true. Because he's faithful. The law of first mention, when we just bring it into this context, it's a significant thing. Now, the way I'm going to discuss this is Genesis chapter 1. Verses 26 through 28. We've read this thousands of times in our church's history. I don't know how many times I've even preached on this topic, okay? Brought it up in part. I don't know how often we've talked in this exact way, but you'll understand. It won't feel like new information this morning. But the scripture talks about God creating man and putting him in a garden. And then the role of humanity to advance or to take ground, to cultivate and keep that garden. And there is a clear function of man in the garden, on the earth, in relationship to God. At the very beginning here, verse 26, if you got a Bible, you can read this with me. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created. Verse 28, God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Let's make man in our image. Using the law of first mention, who has God revealed himself as? We've talked about this before, so nobody should cheat right now. But we know in the future that God is a father, right? Jesus reveals God as a father. And so you could think from that perspective back and go, oh, he's a father. But has he revealed himself like that yet? No. He is a savior, but has he revealed himself that way? No. There's so many attributes of who God is, but he hasn't revealed himself in any of those ways. There really is only one characteristic that has been revealed, in this first part, and that is that God is a creator. That God is the creator. And that man was made in God's image. And so what's the image that man was created in? He's a creator. This thing needs to remain true now, okay? Because now we understand that from the very beginning, the divine nature, who God designed us to be, is to be creative. This is a part of who we are. And in fact, when you are creative, you are putting on display a piece of the divine nature of who God is. Creativity is a part of it. This is the image, if you will. There are principles that are connected to this. Notice this says, let's make man in our own image and then let them do what? Rule. Right? So there is the connection with your creativity and functioning like this and the authority you function in your life. And there is a divine connection. Amen? Okay, come on, keep taking steps here. Proverbs 8, flip over with me. This is Proverbs chapter 8. And verse 22 is where we're going to start. Proverbs 8 is wisdom speaking in first person. Okay, so when we read this, you're going to know who's talking. It says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. The me in this sentence is wisdom. The Lord possessed wisdom before he went to create. That's important to think about. Okay, this is establishing this reality here. The Lord possessed me, wisdom, at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. From everlasting, I was established. Who is established? Wisdom. Come on, don't be afraid. I'm going to tell you all the answers before you have to answer, okay? From everlasting, I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest of times of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he had established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When the springs of the deep became fixed. When he set for the sea its boundary, for the water to not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundation of the earth. Then I was beside him as a master workman. It means architect. Wisdom was the architect of creation. Then I was beside him as his master workman, and I was his daily delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, having my delight in the sons of man. Okay. Wisdom and creativity go hand in hand. Wisdom and creativity go hand in hand. Wisdom is knowing what to do. It's an action. It's taking information, taking inspiration, and knowing how to act upon it. Creativity is, how to describe creativity? Creativity, in the function of it, is conceiving of something that does not exist and bringing it from the unseen realm into the seen realm. You imagine something, you envision something, you dream about something, and then you take action upon the idea in order to bring it forth in the physical reality. You following me here? Okay. You are primarily a spiritual being. You are made in God's image as a creator. The spark of life from eternity is what causes humanity to have life. You were made in God's image as creative to partner with your Father in heaven in everything that would be brought forth on the earth. This is humanity's role. But I want you to connect these things, okay? Because it says really clearly, God made us in his image, creative, creators. He placed us in the garden where there is an experience continually taking place. And he said that our behavior connected to the image of God, him creator, us functioning in the image is supposed to produce rule in the earth. Dominion, authority over. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but whatever you create, you have authority over. You know why parents have authority over children? Because kids came from somewhere, right? And there's a war in culture of who has the authority to talk about your kids. It's an appropriate war, but what's the war over? Is it about family values or is it about authority? I'll tell you right now, it's about authority. The war in culture is about authority. We're going to see another version of it today. We're going to talk about it, but think in these principles, okay? Think in these terms. God created you to be creative, and then he placed humanity in the garden. Now, in the garden, there is this experience taking place. It says that there are two trees in the center of the garden. Anybody remember what they are? First tree is what? The tree of life. If you eat of the tree of life, you live forever, eternal life. But can I ask you something? Were Adam and Eve gonna die? Did they have to eat of the tree in order to live? No, something is happening. In other words, there's an eternal experience taking place in the garden, life of heaven, without them having to eat. What's the other tree? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. The description of it's actually quite clear. It says that when you eat of this tree, it opens your eyes so that you can perceive for yourself what is good or evil. It is one of the attributes, it's the description of what God does for us. In relationship with God, I know what's right and wrong. You alive. Adam and Eve saw the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Lucifer, the serpent, more crafty than another beast, comes and tempts Eve and says, if you eat of that tree, you will become like God, knowing good from evil. And when Eve saw the fruit and considered what the serpent had said, she said, oh, that fruit is good for making one wise. In the Garden of Eden, wisdom, or knowing what to do, was coming from their connection with the Father. It was coming through their relationship with God, wisdom. It didn't come from the tree, it came from their connection. But when Adam and Eve reached out and they ate of the tree, it says that their eyes were open, just like was told them. And they begin now to choose for themselves what is wrong and right. The function of wisdom, of knowing what to do, goes from being completely dependent on the relationship to the Father to now being self-contained, where man will decide for himself what to do with their journey. Proverbs 8 says that God, in the created order, he brings forth wisdom as a partner, and then he creates all things. God makes man in his image, puts him in the garden as a creator whose job is to keep cultivating the garden until it covers the face of the earth. In their connection with the Father, with God, they have wisdom. Their nature is to create. And so what they will create will be in connection with divine wisdom. And as a result, they will advance the kingdom. They will grow the garden. I'm trying to slow it down. I'm trying to be oversimplistic. I need to make sure that you get this connection, okay? You're creative. But once man disconnects from the wisdom of God, what does man create? When man's connected to the wisdom of God in relationship, in spirit, in connection, they create in connectedness with the purposes of God. But when you disconnect wisdom, which is how creativity moves forward. Can I tell you this? Young people, well, everybody in this room, look up here for a second. If you are creatively inspired and everywhere you go, you have an idea for something, okay? Creative people. You get ideas all the time. You're a creative person. But without wisdom, you won't do anything with it. You'll just have another inspired idea. And you'll chalk it up to, well, I'm just a creative person. But you won't do anything with it. Wisdom and creativity must partner in order for something to be produced. These two things come together. That's why the Proverbs is so articulate. It says God brought forth wisdom and partnered with wisdom when he created. In other words, God, in his creativity, was able to do all these things because of the partnership of wisdom. And so as long as Adam and Eve are connected to the wisdom of God, what will they produce on earth? They'll create like they're supposed to. And it will continue to grow the influence of heaven on earth. But once Adam and Eve choose for themselves, they disconnecting from the wisdom of God, and now it's the wisdom of man. It's the wisdom of this world. They're still a creative being, but now people are choosing to go their own way, and the results are things like decay and destruction, and there's selfishness and self-seeking, and people create things in order to take advantage of people, and it ends up more and more dark instead of releasing eternal life. When Jesus came and he brings forth the new covenant, he through the new covenant connects us to the Father directly in spirit. This connection is the place where wisdom comes from. The wisdom of God has reconnected to humanity so that what we create continues to bring forth God's will, not the will of man. That thing right there, it seems so simple, but my friends, that thing is so profound. If you sit on this one, if you let it start to affect the way that you think, this one has deep roots. We know in history that it is the people who are creative that are the most influential. We know that it's creativity that moves the world forward. Innovation is part of the process, and we've seen in history where people have partnered with God and created wonderful things, and we've seen in history where people who were creative partnered with demonic ideas and created crazy destruction in the world. In 400 BC, there's a man named Plato. He was the student of Socrates and the teacher of Aristotle. He said, "Give me the songs of a generation and I'll change the mind of that generation." See, creativity is a divine nature thing. You can be creative, like to create. Animals create. Have you noticed this? Anybody have birds in their backyard? Birds, squirrels. I have squirrels. Don't get me going on this thing, but they create nests. Squirrel nests. They're a nuisance, right? But and so the squirrel is creating. And so the animal kingdom can create, but are they creative? This is the differentiation between humanity and the animal kingdom, frankly, okay? Because I see squirrels out there creating, but I don't see them being creative, right? So if I showed up today and I got a squirrel in the backyard who has built a bunch of other squirrel condominiums and is subletting his superstructure to the other squirrels in the neighborhood, that's creative, right? Creativity. Seeing this inspired thing happen, but that's not what takes place in the animal kingdom. This is the difference between the spark of man and this, is that you can be innovative and you can improve and you can change. The divine nature of God allows this to take place. Your creativity, so powerful. It's the artists who have the most influence. Did you know in the 1960s, the USSR banned a group called the Beatles. Anybody familiar with the Beatles? Does anybody remember when the Beatles hit it? Yeah, a few of you? Yeah, come on, come on. Be proud. The Beatles were banned in the USSR because communism saw that, this is the thought, that the lyrics that the Beatles were portraying were too happy and optimistic and gave hope. And so their thought was that if the people of the USSR listened to this music, that they would become optimistic, know that the world outside of their current existence had hope, and they would overthrow their government. And so the music was banned. This is a historical fact. In communist Romania, there is a memorial called the Siget Memorial. It's a prison where one of the dictators locked up all the painters, musicians, and artists because he felt that creative people were the greatest threat to communism. They had the ability to shift the beliefs and the thoughts of others, and so he knew that he needed to lock them up if he was going to have power. Demons seek to corrupt creative people because whatever they create unlocks authority. See, whatever you create, you have authority over. Parents have authority in children's lives, but there's a war in society around who gets to influence your kids. If you create an invention, you are the person who has the most right to it. No one can tell you what to do with your invention. This is a true story. I invented a type of baby wrap device. We had our firstborn, Josiah, and he was so colicky and fussy that we struggled for sleep as new parents, which new parents do. But it was so traumatic that when our daughter, Eliana, was born, we, as she started to struggle for sleep, and we realized that we're about to enter back into a struggle that we were afraid of, the struggle over sleep, I began to take that fear, frankly, to the Lord. And I was in my prayer closet one day, and I began praying, just saying, "Lord, Jesus, have mercy. Please cause this child to sleep. And as I was just praying for my family, I got this picture, a little pop-up inspiration idea that popped in my head. And I saw my baby daughter wrapped up in this thing. And I was like, that's weird. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. You know, people have been wrapping up babies for thousands of years. Like, that's not new, right? But I had never seen this thing. And so I try to research it, look out, what is there products that exist out there for this, you know, to see if it exists. And there wasn't. And so I went to the fabric store. I went and bought some fabric. I took it home. My mother-in-law taught me how to sew. I put together a pattern and I created this thing that I envisioned in my prayer time. And then that night I put my daughter in it to go to sleep. And guess what happened? Immediately. Like from that point on, sleeping through the night. Now some of you might be, whoa, that's a miracle product. Let's get that thing out there. Because your brain thinks like this, right? But I researched a little more. Does this product exist? No, it does not. I took it to a patent lawyer. We did patent searches. No one's invented this before. I create this thing. I take it to a lawyer. I get it patented. I own intellectual use, all of the rights of this thing. Why? Because I created it. No business out there, nobody can make me create those things more. You can't steal it from me, because if you do, I can sue you. Why? Why? What enables the right of an individual to own the future of that thing? Because I created it. Do you see how creativity unlocks authority? If you create a business, nobody can tell you what to do with that business. It's yours. You can grow things. You build things. You are creative people. And every time you create, every time you enact the divine nature of God, it releases authority. And that authority is supposed to be used in connection with the wisdom of God. Someone might say, hey, Pastor Jamie, can I buy one of those wraps off of you? No. Wait, well, that's not fair. Well, no, it's mine. You can't have one. How's it make you feel? It's a little annoying, isn't it? But can you make it happen? No. Why? Because authority actually rests with whoever creates the thing. Now just pause for a second. Think about these things. God wants to give you his authority so that you influence the creation to obey the will of God. And the mechanism in which he has given us the act, like to access this, is to create and bring it forth. That's what unlocks the authority. That's what moves the thing forward. Creativity releases prosperity. Creativity influences. There's so many ways this thing impacts our lives. But when you're the master, when you're the creator, you're the one with authority. You have dominion over it. You know, it's the creative people in history who have had the most influence, who steer society, if you will. You know, creativity addresses evil as well. War is not the only option for dominion to be released in the earth. Can I point back to a truth? It's the world who wants to take authority and lord it over itself, force into submission. But this is not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is to create something that has influence and people choose of their own free will to enter into that freedom. Instead of warring against something, just present a solution. There was a book by Sinclair called The Jungle. It's about child slavery in American factories at the turn of the century. And it created awareness of what was happening in the industrial age with the kids. And as a result, it changed laws. It was a creative work that unlocked the reality that brought change and influence. It's a book called Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe. The communication about slavery changed the thought process of people, and in which case also then influenced our society to change. Can you see how a spark of an idea can actually shift everything? Why would there be a war over authority? Ah, isn't this fun? This is where modern age bumps right into this topic today. I want you to think, it wasn't too long ago, there was a few pop artists, pop culture, I think is where we see this, tend to show up a little bit more so than other places because there's such a war in the industry of entertainment right now because it's where creativity and creative people have centered around. It doesn't have to be this way, but creative people have been drawn to the arts and they center around the arts and that expression. And as a result, you also have significant spiritual warfare going around that topic, that issue. And where do you see it in pop culture? Again, I want you to think of this. Guys, it's not about money. Money is a tool. Governments don't need money. The devil doesn't need money. The war is over authority. The war is over influence. The war is over who gets to decide. And in that decision, does it advance the rule of heaven or does it continue to propagate the destruction of demonic devices? And every time the church chooses to not be creative, but instead to war or to complain or to point out what's wrong with something. Instead of being creative, every time we tear something down, does that release more authority or does it do something else? You can see why I'm going to need several weeks to unpack all this. There's a Minnesota artist. His name was Prince. Anybody remember Prince? Okay, you don't gotta like what he spoke about in music. You don't gotta like the style of music. You don't gotta like whatever. It doesn't even matter to me. But there was this little thing that happened in the headlines. You remember this? Not too long ago, right? At least everybody in their 40s should remember this. But Prince went ahead and he removed the pronunciation of his name. Do you remember? When he showed up suddenly as this symbol and the church freaked out. At least the church I was a part of, the Christians freaked out. Oh, it's a sign of the devil. No, it wasn't. No, he wasn't saying he was homogenous. He wasn't saying any of that stuff. No, there was something else happening behind the scenes. Does anybody know why he became the artist formerly known as Prince? Intellectual property. He wanted to own the rights to his music. And the world demonized him for it. Why? Because if you own the rights to something, then you have the authority. But if the industry or the business or the money, whatever, owns the rights to something, then you don't have authority. And he saw that as something willing to go to war about. Modern. I don't know. Anybody watch the Super Bowl? Three of you? Anybody? It's not a hard question. Did you or didn't you? Yeah? Okay. Okay. I saw there was a young lady who was on that screen more than the football game. Okay. A pop artist, Taylor Swift, was on the television as much as the football game was during the game. Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? Do you know why that's a lightning rod in the entertainment industry? Now, some of you, take off your accusation hat for a moment. Your demonization hat. It's the devil and the music and it's. Take all that off for a second, and I want you to think through what she actually did. See, she created all this music, and it was owned by record labels and companies, and then they went ahead and, if you hear the story, they sold it to someone she did not want to work for or be owned by. And so instead of partnering with that, she stepped back and did what? Does anybody know? Taylor's version. She re-recorded all her music again, went through all the work again to recreate what she already should own, but you recreated it and put it back on the market, and the world got behind it. Why did the world get behind it? Why do you think this generation was so stirred by that and started buying all those records again? Why the world tour blew up and it's the biggest thing ever? Like, why? What's this war over? You're not seeing it splashed across the news, but I promise you, it's the war of authority. She wanted to own the rights to her own music. That's the world expressing that, feeling the claws of something demonic in the system and pulling back from it. Did you know that you don't own the rights to anything you create with AI? Can't copyright any of it. Just a thought, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I would say that the devil is actually working overtime on stealing creativity and the authority out of people. For real. There's this authentic, real spiritual war taking place right now. And the generation, our kids are frontline in this thing. That's why the church we need to breathe on creativity. We need to fan that thing into a flame. You should be creative. I'll throw just a few more examples at you, and then we'll keep talking about this over the coming weeks. So, do you know that the church used to believe that singing had to all be in monotone tones? We all must sing in the same key, the same key, the same key. And it was the unity of the sound that was godly. Because I'm not kidding. This is real. Because harmony is demonic. At least that's what it was labeled by religion. Do you know that there was a 100-year fallout in the churches that allowed the organ in them to progress music, to bring the organ in? Division in the church over this creative object. When drums were brought into the church, oh boy, this is a problem. Because the drums were aboriginal sounds that came from cultures that worshiped demons with them. And so how could God ever redeem a sound to be worshiped for himself? But this is what churches taught. This is what the body of Christ had been thinking. Come on, keep moving your brain. Guitars were considered evil, and it was not until the Jesus People movement that we allowed a band into the church. And yet at the same time, the 60s are roaring and music is changing the face of culture across the world. And as soon as the church allowed creativity to begin to flow in music, its authority and influence shot through the roof immediately. Did you know that the movie industry was born in the church? The first movie houses were churches. They didn't have buildings set aside for these things, and so they would show on the, they would put up a screen because the building had room, and so they would put up a screen and they'd show the movies. Think about this. Y'all, the movie industry was born in the church. Talk about God giving you a bump set. You're supposed to spike it. This, you're a setup. Here is a divine setup. This is going to be the most influential industry for the next 100 years. And we want it to be in the church's hands. And so they gave birth to it in the church, quite literally. But then technology increased. And movies began to have sound, and churches did not want to upgrade their established systems. And so instead of adding a sound system, we vilified the movie industry, and they took it out from the church, and it's been used to influence in negative ways instead of it as a tool in the hands of the Lord. I don't know why the church is always known for what we're against. Being against something does not move it forward. Truth stands on its own. I'm telling you, you don't need to disprove something in order to prove something. Just produce something new. Be creative. Bring it forth into the world. Partner with God on something. Bring it forth and watch as authority is given to you and the Lord is advancing in the world through it. There's one time in history where God gave the tabernacle in the hands of David. If you think about this, David releases 288 professional musicians and singers, and they open up 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week worship. And Israel goes on the most influential run in its history. It's all around the creativity moving forward. It's not a side issue. That's the point. Your creativity and expression of it's not a side issue. It's meant to be in partnership with God, not the world. And so instead of being motivated by money, you should check in with the Lord. But you're supposed to get these ideas and you're supposed to bring them forth. You're supposed to, in wisdom, actually do something with it. And when you do, it releases authority. God partners with it and we change society. Amen. Man, there are so many ways we could go here. All right, that's it. That's good enough. Stand up, will you? It's good. It's fine. Have you ever felt stuck before? Stuck. How you get unstuck? Exercise creativity. That's how you get unstuck. This event, we're going to deep dive into some of this stuff and activate it. It's going to be awesome. But I want to leave you with some thoughts. So just close your eyes, put a hand on your own heart. There was a woman named Lori Klein that felt stuck. She lived in a trailer in the high desert, Oregon. She was frustrated. She had been crying out to God for something to change her life. And in the midst of that, she wrote a song. The song transforms her life, changes everything. A mom in a trailer, no access to anything, gets inspired one day and starts to sing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, and may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. You think you're stuck? Man, you're one creative moment away from everything changing. Rick Founds was a computer programmer who wrote the song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. I love to sing your praises. This is the number one Christian song for years. How many ways did Thomas Edison invent a way not to have a light bulb? Just because you tried it once doesn't mean you're at the end of the road. What are you doing? You have an idea, keep working on it. God gave you that thing. It's a spark of innovation, of inspiration, of creativity. Partner with God around it and see what happens. Lord, this morning, we just present ourselves to you, knowing, God, that you created us in your image. Children are creative immediately. You don't have to teach them how to do it. It's just who they are. Lord, I thank you that we would be unlocked again to become childlike in our faith and our connection with you. Lord, I pray that you would till the soil, the foul ground, the hardened ground. God, I pray that it would get torn up, that our hearts would become soft again, or towards walking in divine creativity and wisdom, partnering with heaven. Lord, I thank you that you want to influence this generation. You want to unlock this generation. Lord, that you're doing a work among us. I pray, Lord God, that you would anoint with such great power the body of Christ to step into this day with authority, Lord. I thank you for this, God. I thank you, Lord, for business ideas and inventions. I thank you, God, for ideas that will change the prosperity of families' futures. Just, you're going to have an idea and boom, everything changes. I thank you, Lord, for creative ideas when it comes to medicine and solutions to diseases and the elimination of things. Lord, I thank you that you're doing that in the midst of us. I thank you, God, that you are causing hearts to be awakened with purpose for ministry, and something new needs to come forth because there's a need in the world. Lord, that you're inspiring, you're causing that to come in our hearts. Lord, for new churches to be planted. Lord, for missions and missionaries to be sent. For songs to be wrote, Lord. Not just in the arts, God, but creativity would shine through every dimension that we exist in. Lord, I thank you. Land, sea, sky, all the dimensions of natural life, Lord, that you would empower your people. Lord, I thank you for that. So God, I bless them today. May the Lord bless you. May this connection in spirit thrive. May the Lord's face and his countenance be towards you, that you would know his favor. May he be gracious to you, that you would be empowered. And may he guard your hearts and minds with his shalom, his peace, that you would live within this realm of blessing. I bless you today, church, in the mighty name of Jesus, and anybody who dared to agree with that said, amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord this morning?
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. It's our hope that God touched your life in a truly meaningful way. And if you were impacted, please let us know by writing a review or share it with friends. If you'd like more information on The House Church, we would love to connect you with our community. Please visit us at ithehouse.org for more information. We'll see you next week.